Hello, and welcome to the Cubicorn Games Podcast.
Wow.
My name is Dustin Morbido. Everything is still a nightmare. Joining me today to talk about the state of things in 2020, Lorraine Morbido is here.
It's true, I never left. I can't leave my house, so there's nowhere else for me to be but here.
Lockdown.
The royal
proper.
Here.
And joining us today.
Wow.
Safely socially distant via the internet.
Hundreds and thousands of miles away.
Brian Taylor's here.
I am a person.
How's it going,
live,
man?
Live from the center of the earth.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
good.
That's
a great show.
Right,
we're wrapping
honestly.
It up. Good job.
Yep, that's it. Call it.
Because yeah, I one way or another, I wanted
another
to kind of just record a thing just to do it. Just to kind of get something else on the books and put something else on there and test it on the new website thing,
right.
But we'll get into that in a second.
Website.
It's not as exciting as it sounds.
It's not. It really isn't.
But I also just wanted to...
should be.
I wanted to talk to you, because it's been so long since we've hung out in this manner and had, like, an actual back-and-forth conversation with, like, voices, with our mouths, because it's usually either, you know, kicking a couple things back on, like, text, like, in Facebook Messenger or whatever, or, like, when we do streams... You know, where they're talking and you're
words.
Hanging out in the chat and stuff. And that's still great and all.
So much easier than using my voice.
but yeah, I just wanted to catch up for a hot second because it's been...
The lazy mouth.
It's been a while, so... yeah, how you been doing, man? How has the quarantine been treating you?
I mean, if we're going all the way back to the beginning, not great.
Sure, but I mean, over like your arc, has there been like a slight upward trajectory? Because I feel like I've been like all over the place. Like I've had ups and downs for sure. But as of this week, I'm feeling like a tiny bit better. I don't know. I think I've just finally settled into the like I've come to terms with the fact that everything is going to be weird for the foreseeable future, for like the next year-ish or more.
My hope is, you know, maybe around December-ish.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take it if things like, you know, if there's a real quick vaccine or just for other reason things just happen to get much, much better more quickly, I'll be stoked at any point if any of that happens. But
seeing how it's playing out in other states, I'm not holding my breath.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, you might want to be around some of these people.
To push your limits, yeah.
Just, like, don't hold it the whole time, because...
I mean, if that just takes me out, though, then I don't have to worry about any of this anymore. Like,
can't laugh or crying or something. I don't know what to say other than that everything
is
nuts and terrible.
I'm just like going numb, and I know that's like the worst way to go. Like, I just part of me just kind of shuts down when I see the new that stuff. Like, I feel terrible. Like, I'm just. Overwhelmed with just frustration and sadness and anger and fear, and then
and
all of it just stops because like this is the like God knows how many times in recent history, like even that this just it keeps happening and nothing changes and nothing will ever change unless everything gets burnt down
and it's just weird
upended.
In the context of, like, I don't know, just, like, all the other Stardug losses of life. Like, there were 100,000 people into the coronavirus death toll, and it's, like...
And climbing.
Right, and it's, and you know, a significant portion of those could have been prevented if we had just been better prepared. So there's that on top of it. It's just, I don't know, at some point you do get,
I mean, or if it wasn't, like, a political sport to not wear a mask.
Well, that too. I mean, that's like one of the 20 reasons why everything is so stupid right now.
The smallest ounce of restraint. Compassion or just spatial awareness or brain cells, like any of that. Like, I just.
And there's other parts of that spectrum too, because on the one hand, there are the people who will make like the like empty-headed political stance of like, I'm not going to wear a mask because. I'm stupid. Like, I'm stupid for ideological reasons. And then there's, like, the other... I don't know if they're smaller or the same amount or maybe even larger, but there's the other subset of people that's just, like... They don't necessarily, like, they're not beholden to any political philosophy, but they just don't quite understand how, like, statistics works. They're like, I don't know why I should wear a mask. I don't know what the big deal is. If I get it, I get it.
It's more just general ignorance than...
I refer to them as morons and morons.
That's like big M morons.
Yeah.
Big M and little M.
Yeah, I told Lorraine the other day about... And there are two things that had changed in my my grocery buying experience as of yesterday. The first one, thank you, Lorraine.
Twisting your chair, just like, on a constant, like, just no.
The first one was that yesterday was the first time I didn't go, like,
in the morning.
Like, I've been pretty good about getting up early and trying to go roughly when they open.
You just got super lazy yesterday.
To try to beat the crowds, but yesterday I had stayed up super late doing other stupid shit, and I just didn't. So instead I went, like, two-ish in the afternoon. And it was by far the worst mask compliance that I had ever seen to date. Usually it's pretty good in the mornings. But I don't know if that's just because people are getting worse about it as time has passed, or if it is much worse. Like,
I bet it's a little both.
In the height of the afternoon, when you just get like a... When the crowd is less self-selecting in terms of being, like, you know, trying to avoid other people.
When you're there in the morning, you're there for a reason. Like, yeah. If you're there in the afternoon, it's because you can't be bothered to get up and go in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little shocked that the first time I went to the store, it wasn't too bad because I was sick for weeks, so I wasn't at the store at all.
Uh-huh.
And the first time was like 2.5-3 weeks ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like, I don't know, 20-30% of people without masks. And I went again like 5 or 6 days later, and there were like probably 50% non-compliance. Including like just a woman without a mask and 4 children all walking as like their own personal crowd of germs.
Right. Like shoulder to shoulder, basically like, all right, there's no way you're gonna get past these people in this
literally holding hands.
Aisle. So. Yeah.
Like crowded around breathing everywhere.
Yeah, that was mostly my experience this last time. Ugh.
The worst one was I had to get some carb cleaner to get the lawnmower going.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into AutoZone, and of course, the sanctum of big, tough, manly men that it is.
the last bastion of manhood.
That was the
manhood.
First time where it was like 70% non-compliance. Like, there were just people walking in groups without wearing masks.
Oh my god.
It was like me and 2 other people, and I like shot them both looks like, yeah.
I have yet to actually like confront anybody about it, but I do try to look with disdain every time I like give them a slightly longer linger than usual of disapproval.
There's so many times I just wanted I wished I had the authority to slap the shit out of somebody.
Yeah.
Pardon.
You need to get the friend. You gotta get the social distancing slap down somehow. You need like, so I don't know what it is, like a pool noodle or something, like something to show your disgust more than with just a withering glare while also not physically harming them.
Light physical harm.
That's a pool noodle is light physical harm.
Sure, you're right. Like a Catholic nun degree of like.
No, they're more.
Really wrap somebody on the knuckles with a ruler.
They're more than a pool noodle.
One of those like a giant sized version of those old sticky hands you used to get out of quarter.
It weighs like 15 pounds.
It's
like a ball and a chain, fucking thing.
It's like the size of your hand, but it's got like a 10-foot.
Oh boy!
A real slap feel.
Mm-hmm.
Smack. Makes a hell of a sound, it. Right? What? Contacts flesh.
Sticks to them so they know.
Mm-hmm.
A red mark of shame.
Because like even like last weekend it was really nice out. It was Memorial Day on Monday, this past Monday, and we actually got together with like Phil, Kyle, Brian, and Amanda for a little bit just to. We haven't seen them literally since March. So it's
seen anybody since March.
Yeah, we haven't seen anybody.
You know, we look at my parents outside the door or whatever.
We have been at a far distance from my family as well. But like we went and just like we sat in the like, because we've all been fairly well quarantined. Like none of us have been going into work. We've all been staying home with the exception of having to go to stores every now and then. But we sat in a wide ring, like almost every single wall, essentially, of Brian's garage for a few hours. Like, and like, I mean, at least Dustin and I, I'm assuming the other guys did too. We had masks if like, just in case, like on our person, but we were just sitting around like following the goddamn rules. Like, why is it so like hard?
Photos I've seen of, man, there's ways I'm trying to not say it that don't involve power.
why don't we just
there,
let's just
there.
Shelve this for now,
cause yeah, we can just
we
move
can,
on.
We're just gonna keep depressing ourselves and everybody else. Like, we all know that everything is literally in the toilet right now. Probably we're like stuck in the U-bend. Shit's overflowing. It's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just
let's step away from it, please. Just don't want to be the one, that's all.
Then you don't have to be the one, because let's talk about video games.
Right. I mean, we all know how we feel. Other people certainly, for the most part, know how we feel. It's just there are other people doing their best. We're, for the most part, doing our best.
Doing our part, which is all
we can
really do.
Like I said, my other experiences have been real good. So
you're
I'm
really
try...
helping move this conversation along, Dustin.
Yes.
I'm going to try in the morning again and see how things go the next time. But I just wanted to highlight one positive. Before we move on.
I've definitely seen a few bright spots.
But yeah, that last trip was wild, but most of my other ones have been better. And actually, like, people on the street around here for the most part have been good, better than me even, because I usually have not been wearing a mask when I've just been walking outdoors, and I know for a fact I'm not going to go inside anywhere other than, like, the house when I come back. Mm-hmm. And I just avoid people on the street. Like, I basically just... Oh, go ahead.
I've just continued walking indoors to completely avoid people.
That's fair too. I've done a little bit of that for sure.
Doing my part for the cause.
That's where stationary bikes come in, man.
But yeah, like, mostly I just like
hell yeah
walk out way out into the grass or just literally cross over from one side of the street to the other as I'm like approached by other human beings. But
I almost went out for a walk like out of doors. It's like a week and a half ago, but I was still.
Mm-hmm.
Having the like occasional days where my breathing was like spotty and like the 2 days it was nice, it was just like I know if I go out there it's going to be a little problematic because it's so warm and humid, but if I stay indoors I can walk for a while. And it wasn't until this week that I started getting back to like anything close to my old walking levels of 10 to 15,000 steps a day.
Oh, that's good.
Like
nice.
I was doing like, I don't know, 6 or 7,000 at the most.
Mm-hmm.
Usually less.
That's real good. That's very
cool. Work off the COVID pounds now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think the last thing I'll throw out there and then we will move on properly to video games. And you know other shit, but I forgot about this until we were just talking about positive things, but the last time I had been up on the hill, we got Panda Express one night for dinner. I forget when. It was a week
cares?
Or two ago or something.
It doesn't, their time has no meaning. Too.
Wait, I think we had it the same day.
We might have.
Ironically, was it like last Wednesday?
That might have been it.
I don't think it was Wednesday.
I don't remember.
Whatever, who cares?
But anyway, on my way up there, I was passing by, you drive up through like all the shopping center parts, and there's like the Kidoba on the left, and a little further to the left of that, out in front of the like men's warehouse, or I don't know, it's just some
whatever,
male clothing store.
Yeah.
There were three SUVs, because that store's closed. It's been closed basically since the quarantine started. There were three SUVs parked in like a semicircle around each other, and it was just people with masks just sitting in the hatchbacks, just like hanging out, kicking it.
That
like,
was going to be my something like that was probably going to be my suggestion if we hadn't settled on Brian's house for this past weekend. Just like.
Yeah.
Like, basically tailgating, but...
Tailgate,
like,
yeah.
But they were doing good.
There's
it was,
big enough parking lots
yeah,
we could
fun,
find
you
that
could just
are
hear
all empty.
I had, like, my window down, and I could just hear them, like, talking and laughing and stuff, and they were just kind of chilling in of, you know, a relatively responsible, safe manner, so I respected it.
A couple of weeks ago, I saw, like, three dads just standing on, like, different sides of the lawn. One had a beer.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's a good way to do it.
Earlier this month, when it was my one sister's birthday, we did a little like a drive-by parade of like cars and stuff. My other sisters got it together, and then because my parents live on a cul-de-sac, so Dustin and I were standing on the island itself, and like there was just a ring, around that little loop of like my family was on like their lawn and stuff, and people were like kind of in the street, and just we chatted for a bit. It was, that was the most people we had seen in person, like visiting wise, since like the start of everything. And then our next get together was obviously this past weekend, but it was nice to be able to like see people.
Yeah.
Skype calls for dinner every week aren't quite the same, but it's nice.
Yeah, we've been Skyping my brother a little. I usually just text him a lot.
That's good.
It's easier.
Fair enough. But yeah, so there are bright spots. There's people doing good stuff, you know, doing their best. So that's all awesome. And
yeah, we're also
very much appreciated.
The sun. Guess what's coming from the sun?
The Almighty. The Almighty.
Yep.
I'll talk about that in a second, actually.
Destiny.
But before then, yeah. Brian, I want to kick it back to you don't mind.
I was segueing a little bit.
Oh, I mind.
He's minding. He's minding.
Because I just kind of want to hear what you've been up to lately, because you told me, when we received messages yesterday, that you haven't been playing a ton of video games, but you had been doing some dev stuff. So there's anything on that spectrum that you want to throw out there to just like check in? Like I said, I'd just be curious what you've been up to, because I've been a little all over the place. And I've kind of been getting back into the swing of things the last week or so, but I was just curious what's going on. What have you been working on? What have you been messing with?
I mean, I wouldn't call it interesting.
I mean, it might be interesting. It'll be interesting to me. I don't know how generally interesting
it'll
be.
This
podcast isn't generally interesting to anybody, Dustin, so don't worry about it.
I don't know if it shows, like, when I'm on PlayStation. Like, does it, when you see me on there, does it say that I'm playing like Kingdom Hearts or something?
It can, usually, yeah. I think so. If you're in like an app, it will show what it is.
I was going to say, because I thought I heard Lorraine mention something like a week ago about seeing I was playing it. And I was like, I don't think, now that I think about it, I don't think I've played it in like 2 or 3 weeks. But when I walk, I watch my Crunchyroll garb.
Gotcha.
So it might show me like playing a game or something, but
I feel like it would show, because normally like it shows like if Netflix is being played.
Yeah, it might show you the app. It won't show you like what you're watching within it or whatever.
Yeah,
it might say
that
you're playing Netflix, but not that you're watching, you know.
I just know my Kingdom Hearts is like technically paused, although actually it might not now, because I forgot our stupid, we had a power blip the other day and my PlayStation restarted.
Oh.
Maybe it's not. I mean, I saved it, but it's just, I love the PS4 and its ability to just like keep that running in the background. So I don't actually have to start the game up. I can leave it running for weeks and just blip right back into it where I left off. But I was playing that for a while. I think I had a combination of Kingdom Hearts burnout and just needing to do other stuff. So that was,
I mean they're long games, like,
yeah, well, and I played through the first one,
not meant to be played back to back to back to back,
and half of the second one, like a little
over
half.
It sounded
of the
like you were
one.
Close-ish to half, give or take.
Yeah, and I like, when I was sick it was one thing, but like once I got to the point where I could actually get up and sit at my desk and stuff like that, it was like, all right, I probably should be doing something productive with this time. At least for a few hours a day. So that's when I started, like, I had my personal website, like, it was built, I think I built it as like a demo for a job application or something, just to have something in like 2015 or 2016. So it hadn't really been updated in 3-4 years. And I just didn't, I was too busy with work to really mess with it. So that one was built with MVC back in the day, and it wasn't super duper out of date, but like back then, like the .NET Core stuff had just come out, and the hosting provider I had, if you were on a certain plan, they supported MVC, .NET Core, but the libraries back then, they didn't have a few of the functionalities I wanted yet. So like the only way to do it with their hosting at that time was like you were either on a server that could do like the .NET Core stuff, or you were on an older server and I got the impression you didn't mix the frameworks. And I wasn't going to mix the frameworks, so I kind of gave up on it at that point. But now that it's matured more, I decided to go back and do a couple of tutorial courses, like video courses, on .NET Core 3.1, which just landed, I think, in January. So it's pretty much cutting edge, as far as I know. So I went through with that, and I learned a lot about how they're doing MVC in the .NET Core environment now, and luckily my hosting provider had updated. They had updated months ago, or probably years ago. I just wasn't doing anything new with .NET Core to make use of it. So I decided to completely rebuild my site, because I'm going to be job searching in the near future anyway. Yay, layoffs. But I'm not too worried about that. I mean, it is what it is. But so yeah, I've rebuilt this with .NET Core 3.1, and there's stuff on there, but there's also stuff that's kind of hidden behind logins, and there's other stuff that's just not published yet. So I like, as I kind of complete things, I've been pushing updates to the site, just to, it'll get to whatever point it gets to. I've been trying some new frameworks. There's some like alert frameworks on there that I looked at. It's called Sweet Alert. It's kind of nice looking.
Nice.
It's all, like I said, it's all .NET Core 3.1. There's like, it's interesting because they do, I was used to doing like web configs and stuff for everything. And now it's all like JSON, app settings, files, and things like that. So that was something I'm still kind of getting used to, but it hasn't been too bad. And a whole lot of the things I would have had to do in web configs and other configuration files, it's done in like the I'm looking at my project right now trying to find it. It's a startup file they have. Oh crap, I just realized I'm holding push to talk, so which is control in video games doesn't usually cause a problem. But in Visual Studio it does not like me clicking things with control. But yeah, so now there's like all kinds of sections and things that used to have to be more heavily configured in web configs, and if you didn't know how to use those web configs, it could be really, really, really confusing. I spent years working with it, so it wasn't hard for me, but then when I went over to this, it's like, you know, app.useRouting. I'm like, well, what else do I have to do? Nothing. Okay. I guess I'll trust it. And it was just like securing pages on the website. It's just like, so all I have to do is put a little tag at the top of this page, and that means they can't access it, right? Yep. That's it. It's like, oh, okay. We had like a really complex permissions security provider, all kinds of stuff like that with the sites I used to work on, because it was kind of cobbled together. The CMS system we had built in-house was built on a web forms platform.
Right on.
So even though we did like an MVC style architecture, sorry, I had to mute real quick. Even though we did like MVC style architecture stuff, the framework and all that wasn't, it was difficult to do certain modern things with it. So like sometimes we could, sometimes we had to kind of kludge together something of our own. And for a long time, that was one of those things. And it was like, if you went into the CMS and just didn't configure something properly, it was like all of a sudden, some people that weren't supposed to see things were starting to see things.
Yeah, that's not so good.
Kind of glad to not be working on that anymore.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's a certain liberation from anytime you can, like, be done with, for whatever reason, be done with, like, a code base that has built up a certain amount of, like, has been built up for years and years and years and is just, you know, grown really moldy and really cumbersome, regardless of even the technology, but just that if something's been iterated on so many times, eventually it just gets so complicated that it's nice to be able to wash your hands of it when you can sometimes.
It's been nice. Cool. I'm kind of hoping in the future I'll be able to continue working on projects more like the one I have right now as my personal site. I mean, .NET Core has been around for a couple of years now, and a lot of the heavy lifting was done in the first, like, I think by .NET Core 2.2 or something like that, which came out like a year and a half or 2 years ago. And since then, it's just been like improvements. So, I mean, I'm hoping if I, you know, find another job working with this kind of technology that they're at least using stuff that's only, you know, like 2 years old and not like 7 years old.
Right.
But a man can dream.
Yeah, well, that's the kind of thing with the, like, I don't exactly know how to gauge that stuff going forward economically, because you'd think that, for the jobs that are still out there, like, companies are still going to probably want to cut costs wherever they can, so they probably will, more often than not, take the short-sighted route of just, like, all right, we don't want to have like a huge lift to upgrade a bunch of the stuff and really, you know, freshen up some of these code bases. Right. So if we can limp by on this 10-year-old platform, then and it's 10% cheaper than like putting in the effort to do something better, then we're probably going to do that for the next 5 years because money.
Well, and that's kind of like what it was where I was working was like, yeah, we like there were lots of things that were modernized, especially front end kind of stuff and a lot of front end security kind of stuff. But there was also big chunks of core functionality that was used on the back end that was like, we want to upgrade this, but we can't get management to agree to give us the resources, give us the time. You know, so sometimes it was like, we're going to give this thing a facelift and not do much on the back end. And, you know, it's not necessarily to say that, like, parts of the back end, like, weren't secure, for example. But that doesn't mean that they're, you know, just because they may have looked a little nicer didn't mean they were any more modern or, you know, any less of a hassle. It's just the people that were working on it knew how to work on it. And we're good enough to make it look just as nice as a, you know, brand new site that just came out that's using all the latest technology and, you know, knew how to, like, optimize queries and things like that to make the speed not an issue.
Yeah, it's just the difference between, you know, you give somebody a lot of experience, access to a thing, and they might be able to figure out some workarounds to make it work just fine. But if you give them a better set of tools, then they might either get better results or get those results in less time or both. So but then there's the upfront cost of building that shit and updating it all. And it's a whole thing.
Or it's like, you know, we had to build this thing in-house and, you know, wrap it around four other frameworks.
Sure.
It's just part of it. So they made this whole thing modular. You don't have to include 17 giant libraries to get access to one function? How could they?
Oh, man. Yeah, that's really something. But that's still cool. I'm glad that you've been dipping back into that stuff. That sounds really neat with
Yeah, I've been trying to do at least like 3 or 4 hours a day.
Nice. That's real good. Yeah, I've been doing a little web stuff too, but it's nothing nothing super coding related. Unfortunate. It's just so what happened a couple weeks ago, I think it was like 3 weeks ago at this point, is that we got a notice from our current hosting provider that they said they were going to discontinue Windows hosting as of like, I think July is when they're actually sunsetting that stuff. And so at that point, I was like, I was facing down three different options. I was like, well, I could either just take the current site and move it to a new hosting provider. I could keep the one we currently have and rebuild it, you know, and something that they'll still work in. Like, I could write it in PHP or whatever, which I wasn't super stoked about. Like, I could do that probably, but but maybe, and then the third one would be like, you know, maybe I'll just rewrite the whole site and move it. And the I did ultimately end up going with the quote unquote easiest one. Like, I literally just found a different host that provides Windows hosting and moved everything over. And I still do want to do some, like, I did some extremely light upgrades. Like, I fixed one or two like stupid little visual errors. Like, there was a thing where like the podcasts are basically like when we put the podcast on the website, they're basically these like tiny little
players.
Like, right, they're like tiny little players that you inserted the pages, and I guess they had changed the form factor of them at some point.
Yeah, they made them bigger.
So they, yeah, so it put a scroll bar by each of them because they were larger than the one
and the size I coded originally. For, yeah.
Yeah, so I fixed that, and I fixed one or two other little things like that.
I don't know if I had told you about that before, but I meant to.
I think you did, and then I just forgot about it because I remember when I saw him again and when I was putting the site over, I was like, oh yeah, I remember this being broken.
Oh, merp.
But yeah, it was ultimately not a huge hassle, and I did do one or two things that I didn't do last time, like when I had access to the, whenever I had accessed database stuff for our site on the original host, I had just gone into, like, they just had like a really light SQL portal where you could just like open it in a web browser basically and log in and mess with stuff there.
Right.
So like I had only ever done it that way on that site, or used like the little CMS I built, because that's how we, like, Lorraine posts the podcast and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just a little portal you log into, and you can add a blog post or add a podcast and stuff like that. But if I needed to actually edit anything or make new tables or whatever, I would go in through that little web portal. But this time I did bother to, like, I downloaded SQL Server Management Studio and connected to the website database, and that stuff all worked basically the first time I did it, which was good. I also saw the, like, man, there's a lot of databases in our shared hosting. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. You can see other databases?
Yeah. I can't log into them. Like, I can't perform operations on them, but I can see everything on that server. There's a lot of stuff on there.
Yikes.
I feel like they should... There's a permission that they could use.
Yeah, I'm sure they could, but they'd have...
So. I have... technically shared hosting, because I like to use the cheapo plan.
Yeah, me too.
But even with mine, like when you log in via SQL Server Manager and you go to your own like login and stuff like that, you only see your database.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nobody, I think it's because they're still and this doesn't really pose a problem for me functionally. But it might, I guess it might security-wise. I think the one knock against the host we went with is that they're still on, like, for the Windows stuff, they're on, like, SQL Server 2008. So maybe in that version you can't enable settings like that. I don't know. But.
I totally understand why, because, like, at my... where I worked for years, we still used... I think it was SQL Server 2008... And that a big reason for that was because of how expensive it is.
Yeah, right.
and like we had a version of SQL Server where we could do certain kinds of encryption on it. Mm-hmm. So like not only are those licenses as expensive, but I think they changed something in the last few years about the newer versions of SQL, like 2012 and 2016, where if you want certain features like we had I think it was like data cell or cell level encryption or something like that, and there's an enterprise version of SQL Server that's not stupidly expensive, that's like server level encryption, but if you need like the cell level encryption, database level is what I meant. Mm-hmm. If you need the cell level encryption, you have to get like the extra expensive plan.
Yeah.
And we did that, I think, for like one customer that absolutely had to have it, and they were slowly going to migrate other customers eventually, but that's I understand. I can understand from a data center perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the state of that. So that, like, that was okay. And actually, the code ported over fine. Like, I literally just copied the whole deployed project and just put it on the new hosting, and it all worked like 100% fine. I had some problems.
Do you do web deploys?
Yeah, and then I had some problems. What was I going to say? Oh, with the actually backing up and restoring the database onto the new hosting. I don't know. I think I just was unfamiliar with the settings of doing it through like the control panel or whatever. Of like, I think I clicked the wrong thing two or three times, and eventually I figured it out, and it did work fine when I finally like figured out both how to get the proper backup that I needed and then how to restore it to the new environment or whatever. And the thing that was honestly the biggest pain in the butt was porting over the domain, because originally I was just going to like, I was like, maybe I'll just leave the domain and redirect it or whatever. And then for whatever reason, it just wouldn't take on our, because I had bought the domain through our old hosting too. It was just like, at that point it was like bundled together. But then since we were losing the hosting, I was like, well, maybe I'll just leave it for now and try to redirect it. And I, for the life of me, I couldn't figure out how to change the name servers and stuff. It just wouldn't let me do it. So it's like, all right, well, fuck this. And I moved it over to Google Domains instead. Like, that's ultimately where I, like, ported the registration over. And that took, like, 7 days. But after it went over there, it was fine after that, so.
I'm trying to remember. I can't remember where I bought my domain name now.
It's somewhere.
I know that I used... like I have settings on there for things like if you want to contact me like via DNS lookup kind of thing, like you don't actually contact me, you send a message to like the company that hosts the DNS.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a privacy thing, just because I don't.
I have the same thing, just so like people can't who is you and just get your address and shit like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I know I have that, and I have it's definitely somewhere. It's been on auto pay for years.
Sure. Right. Because originally I was going to do the same thing. I was going to move the domain from our original hosting to our new hosting, but they wanted to charge for the domain registration and like $10 or $15 more a year to do the Whois privacy stuff. But Google was put that in for free, and the cost of the domain registration was also like $2 or $3 cheaper. So I was like, all right, that's fine.
Interesting.
And yeah, it seems to be working fine now, but
it might be. I know I secured my domain name through a different registry, but it might be hosted at my web host.
Mm-hmm.
That might be what I'm thinking of.
But yeah, at the end of the day, that was all just a lot of like it was the stuff I don't really like doing. It was like configuration and deployment and like testing all that stuff, like the stuff that I'm much less excited about doing the day-to-day basis, but I did ultimately get it all figured out.
Yeah, that was something like when I started this new project up that I'm kind of glad I went through all those tutorial videos for like, I don't know, 70 hours or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of that configuration stuff was different, and they did a pretty good job of explaining how the stuff worked. And that was something at my old job, where I tended to work on a lot of established projects, so I didn't necessarily have to do a whole lot of the green fields kind of startup stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of experience with a lot of it because I had to modify it and work with it every day. But a brand new project from the ground up wasn't like something I had done a lot over there once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I always had, you know, other examples to fall back on. And this was brand new technology that I'm like, I have no idea how this is set up.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that was me for the first couple of weeks. And then it's just been in the last probably 2 weeks or so that I've been doing more stuff with like the content and actually changing the way things look on the site and that kind of stuff.
Nice.
I've got a look at a bunch of other websites and pirate some ideas from them.
Right.
So I can get something that looks half decent, because I'm not a designer.
Uh-huh, for sure.
I'll put my own spin on it, but I've been reading a lot more like web design type blogs and things the last few weeks than I ever have, because I never needed to. I worked at a company that had designers. Like, that was their job, was to be up on the current stuff.
Yeah.
And show me a picture and I'll make it look like that. That's about it.
Yeah, well, that's really cool. I'm glad to hear
it. I'm glad you found some reasonable hosting.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, I'm just glad, like I said, for the... A lot of the headaches were just, just, like, stuff that I didn't expect to be, like, a problem. Like, I was worried that, just, like, for some reason it just wouldn't work in the new environment, even though, like, I knew I hadn't, like... Like, the .NET level stuff that I was using was nowhere near even the versions that they're up on. Like, there's nothing super technical on that site. But I was just worried that stuff wouldn't work when I moved it over, and it worked immediately fine, and I don't know.
What are you using for your...
It's like a 4.0 based web forms project. It's not particularly complex or particularly modern. but yeah, the database interactions are super simple. You know, it's just selects and inserts. It doesn't do anything else. I don't have any stored procedures or anything weird on there. Like, it's just literally a couple of tables and some SQL in the code itself or whatever. It's extremely uncomplicated, but... Every time I put anything into an environment anywhere, I'd always, like, grit my teeth and close my eyes and just push the button. Hope for the best.
Some database stuff is probably... I'll be doing a little bit of that in the near future. Because I need to get... I want to get something that's, like... I don't want to say, like... I'm not building a blog, but I'm building a blog. I want to build something that has the functionality and look of a blog as an example, but it's basically going to be filled with garbage content.
Yeah, but you're right. I get what you meant. Like, but yeah, you want to build the functionality of a blog. You're not necessarily going to use it to blog about things.
Like, I have there's a page I'm going to build next, because I'm slowly settling on the, like, my about me page and my home page and stuff. And I'm going to build another, like, a hopefully slick looking, like, product sales kind of page.
Like a storefront, essentially.
Or, no, I wouldn't call it a store. Not like a storefront. More like I went to a website and, like, pulled up a product, and they're telling me all the cool stuff about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just like a product information kind
of
type thing.
And all the various features of this DSLR camera.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to probably use a motorcycle, because I like motorcycles.
Nice.
So I was going to do something like that, and that's going to be more static content, so I'm not worried about that taking forever. But I think the next bigger section is going to be something like a blog that I can easily, like, log into and have a page where you can, like, create new articles and show new articles and hide articles from certain people, that kind of stuff.
Don't look at my posts. Stop looking at them.
Oh. Well, and my idea for that was, like, there's a whole lot of websites that are like, if you want to see our latest content, like, subscribe to our website plus, and you don't have to wait a week for the new
content. I know what you meant. I was just being obnoxious.
It was funny. I had looked back on there, and I don't remember if any of the stuff even got used. It probably didn't. But when I was going back through the database, I just looked at some of the other stuff that was in there that I had totally forgotten about. There are, I had built out settings for, different backend users to have different permissions to post to different places, because originally,
chat room,
there was a
not quite.
There was the main face of the site that had all the stuff about, you know, our games and Cubicorn and stuff like that, and then there was a different face that was all Dragon Ball Z focused that had updates about the card game and, like, card previews, because we were getting some of those
forums
from Richie.
No, wasn't a forum. It was more just giving, like, Phil and Kyle permission, essentially. Like,
it was basically just like a different blog feed that had totally different content. That just, if you went to a slightly different URL, it would give you that instead of
our game dev stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but but I had given other, like, that has a different set of permissions to post to. So, like, right, there were accounts for Phil and Kyle on there for, like, they could post in the DBZ portal, but not in the regular Cubicorn portals. And
I was going to say, was there actual security, or was it just obscurity?
I mean, it was, like, you have to put in the password, and if it doesn't match, then it won't let you in, and if you do it too many times, you won't be able to try anymore until I, like, go back in the database and change a thing manually. But that was the extent of the security.
I had something like that on my old site that was, I liked it a lot. I just put it in a couple of spots.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a passcode, basically, where like there was spots where you could say like update table information or send an email or something like that. But I was like, well, I don't want anybody who comes on here to be able to send an email to me or you know, somewhere, somebody else using my FTP or my SMTP, so they're just gonna have to know the passphrase. And so if you put it in, it would send it. If not, it would give you like a little thing like, oh yeah, I totally sent it,
right?
Wink wink.
Yeah, it never sent it.
Nice.
And because I have access to that FTP account, I know for a fact that it was never used by anybody. But
good. Good, good.
Then again, I get like probably one visitor a year that isn't me.
Right. Something like that. That's funny.
So you're saying
Google Analytics is correct.
So you're saying I should go and try to send an email.
Well, you can't now because that site's gone.
I was in.
Doomed.
Hacking the mainframe.
In the future, though. I guess that's number three. Number two project is to build that page I was talking about. Number three is the blog. Number one, the next thing I should be doing is resetting the contact page to send emails to myself if potential employers visit my website and they want to contact me.
Right.
Aha.
So it will send emails in the near future, but they will only go to me.
Aha.
Yeah, that was actually the one thing that I didn't, I couldn't find a really easy way to do it, so I didn't bother to do, which was, I didn't back up any of our old emails that were on stored server side. Like, we have copies of all that stuff locally on our individual email clients, but,
most of them also don't matter.
Forward them all.
That's true, too. but that's actually the last thing I have to do is, I need to update I need to point our various, email clients to the new hosting, because I haven't done that yet, but I'll do that in the next day or two, whenever I get around to it, whatever.
Yeah, I think my hosting does have SMTP, but I don't use theirs just because I didn't want to deal with the interface. So I just use a Google SMTP.
Nice.
And I don't have to worry about my hosting, like, ever for that.
Right.
Because, you know, like for me, that when I saw the hosting SMTP, I was like, well, if I was a business, maybe. But if I ever move this, like, I don't want it to be like I got a Comcast email address or, you know, kind of thing. Like, no, I'm not migrating all that shit. Like, I'm going to have it in a spot where I'm never going to have to worry about it.
Nice.
Unless Google dies, then
well, that'll be a different problem.
I'll address it then.
I'm on it.
Well, that's really cool. Like I said, it's cool to hear that you're working with that stuff. And it was like a nice little distraction. Like, I think I actually did need a little of that. Like, some of it was slightly more annoying than I would have bargained for, but it was a nice little it gave me a thing that I could focus on and get done and like feel accomplished when I finished it to move all that stuff over. So
I've been getting a lot of that because not really taking a vacation or anything for like 5.5 years. Six years. I was ready, and like the first couple months I was off, I was like, yeah, this is nice. Like, I'm not even going to worry about tech crap or anything for a little while.
I mean, burnout's real.
Yeah, and I'd say around the time I got sick in like late March, that was when I was just barely, like, I had just started doing some of these training videos and stuff like 10 or 12 days before that. And I was feeling it. I was motivated. I was ready to get back into it. And then I got sick and I physically couldn't.
Yeah.
So it was like, there was this desire I had just had to get back into it, and now I can't. So I, that luckily, video games kind of helped me get through that.
Spiraled into a video game depression.
And I don't know if I'd call it a depression.
You were playing Kingdom Hearts. I guess you played Nino Kuni first. It's like,
Nino Kuni was
Kingdom Hearts is basically of my depression. Kingdom Hearts is a sickness.
But yeah, now that I've actually got a project that doesn't look totally like garbage, and I'm kind of in, like, I've gotten past a lot of that startup-y kind of stuff that I was doing, you know, and it's more free form. It's not like, okay, I'm gonna hop on and do 3 hours of videos today, you know. Where, like, because that was interesting, but it's also its own slog.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I know where the end is. It's video 158. I'm on 61, you know. and I got to make it through all of them.
Right.
Can't just before skip around.
I wasn't going to let myself, like, stop and work on the project or anything outside of that because I didn't want to screw something up.
Yeah.
So... But now that that's all out of the way and it's just kind of me and the content, I have a lot more freedom with what I'm doing and how I'm making it look and all that kind of stuff. So it's actually been pretty nice the last couple of weeks.
Hooray.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah, it's been nice to get back into it. And find that I don't actually hate it. I just kind of hated it for about a year before.
Right, but
going on vacation.
Yeah, exactly. Again, it's just like it's just a shame that we don't on average have a more flexible work-life balance where people can just be like, "All right, I literally just need like a month. Like I need a month to not do this, and then I will come back with fervor and vigor and
yeah."
Right? Well, that's what got me through like the last year was I did manage to get like a 5 or 6 week sabbatical, and there was like 6 months where I was like, yeah, this is going pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eventually it just catches up with you again. The wave crests too high one too many times and it's just like, oh man.
The waves keep crashing.
Yeah. In any case. Yeah.
It's been nice.
That's good. That's real good. I'm glad to hear it. Lorraine, yes. I've got two video games I might want to discuss lightly, and then after we do that, we might just call it a show. But you mentioned Kingdom Hearts, and the nightmare therein, or whatever it was you said a few seconds ago.
Kingdom Hearts is a disease.
What are your feelings on Kingdom Hearts 3? Now that you're almost done with it.
I don't want to say too much because Brian.
Yeah, don't spoil. No, don't get into specifics. The other thing, I won't specifically spoil anything either. But
because like I'm not quite done. I'm in the last world. I'm. Lord knows how far into it. I did a big chunk of it the last time I played, like 2 hours or so or whatever. But I feel like everything kind of up until this point was almost pointless. In Kingdom Hearts 3 specifically, the Disney worlds were very weak in this one, which was very upsetting.
No.
My still personal favorites for this game are definitely the Toy Story and Monsters, Inc. one. I feel like the Pixar worlds were the only ones that were well written, while the other ones were literally just like regurgitations of the stories themselves or completely devoid of any life at all, like the Big Hero 6 world, which was the biggest disappointment of my life.
Because that's the thing that that's the thing that I was going to say, which I think is the thing that is worse with some of that other I don't know, like sort ways that Disney content gets reimagined.
I was
going to
say
too.
Yeah, newer Disney content is in such a different place than it was when it was like the modern era for like Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2. Like, I bet the devs had a lot more free reign with like all those older properties. Cause I mean, they're working with what, like Alice in Wonderland, like Pinocchio. Like, who cares about those? Like, those don't have like the reverence that you have to treat Frozen with or whatever. Like, they were allowed to get more creative. And up until this game, I would say all of the Disney worlds were for the most, like, there's a few duds here and there. I'm looking at you, Pirates of the Caribbean world and Tarzan world, specifically from 1 and 2, for 2 and 1, technically, if you want to
get it before me.
Semantically. But Like, I'll use Birth by Sleep, which always seems to be my fallback, as an example. Like, there are three different story paths through that game that go through the same worlds in slightly different orders. Each visit to those worlds feels completely different and unique, even if they are kind of falling along the lines of the stories. Like, there's Snow White, there's Sleeping Beauty, Cinderella, there's, like, a Stitch world. You go back to the Colosseum because you always go back to the Colosseum. There might have been, like, one more, honestly. But, like, even those, like, a lot of those were, like, almost form-for-form retellings of, like, the stories. Like, Snow White gets poisoned. Aurora falls asleep. Cinderella has to go to the ball. Like, they fit the movies, but there's also just, like, life, for the most part, more in there. Whereas the, like, Kingdom Hearts 3 ones, it's just like, oh, you're gonna watch these scenes from Frozen, basically shot for shot, recreated an engine, and listen to all of Let It Go, and most of Do You Want to Build a Snowman, shot for shot, created from the movie. And it's just like, why? Because, like, even the, at least, like, there were parts of the Tangled world that were a little, like, editorialized, sort of. Like, they were allowed to, like, characterize, like, Rapunzel and Eugene a little bit. But, like, the Frozen world was just, it was the stiffest, blandest, most boring thing ever. And I think I went from that, or no, I went from the Monsters, Inc. world to that. The Monsters, Inc. world was, like, set after the movie. It was a completely unique story. There were parts that were kind of, like, similar-ish. Like, they took beats from it, which, like, who cares? Like, it's fine. But you were doing different, it wasn't like, oh, we're gonna follow someone over here and do this because this is what happens in the movie. It was, like, fresh and new, and the same with, like, the Toy Story world, which is, like, the first one you go to. Well, I guess you technically go to the Colosseum first, because you always go to the Colosseum. But, like, those worlds had interesting parts to it. They still weren't, like, they were a little too big. All of the worlds are a little too big, just because it's like, oh, this is an open world. Like, go find all these pointless Mickey Mouse ears and take pictures of them on your stupid little smartphone. There's too much of that. Like, I can understand not wanting the worlds to feel like hallways. I get that. But the ones that were a little more guided felt better than just, like, these, like, huge open, like, we're gonna go back to the Frozen one again, because there's, like, there aren't that many locations in that movie. There really aren't. So the majority of that is, we're climbing this mountain to find Elsa. Fine. The movie's like that too, but you go through, like, this giant fucking labyrinth for literally no reason with the samey-ass rooms, and it's, like, maybe a third of the whole world itself, and then you're climbing up the mountain with these similar-ass looking just mountainscapes. Like, so it's just vertical space that all looks the same, and, like, sure, it looks nice because it's made in Unreal, but, like, it doesn't matter. All of it's dumb, and you do that, like, 3 times. That world is terrible.
Oh, you're making me think of the Tarzan world.
The Tarzan world is, like, the precursor to all of this bullshit. The Tarzan world is so bad, but at least is a function. I like the Tarzan world better than the Frozen world. I'll fucking say it. And I've hated the Tarzan world since I played Kingdom Hearts 1.
Do you want to climb a vine?
But you're not going to be able to climb the vine because you're not facing the direct fucking, like, 2x2 square that you need to be on to get that command to prompt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, jeez.
Your jump is the worst thing since everything. God, Kingdom Hearts 1. I'm
starting to wonder if the first one was the best one.
No. Like, I still stand by 2 and Birth by Sleep being, like, the most as a game good that the Kingdom Hearts franchise has been. Mm-hmm. They play really well, and they feel good. They're a little, like, it's systems bolted on systems at some point, which is kind of overwhelming. Once you get a feel for it, it's really fun. One of the things I actually liked about the, like, gameplay in Birth by Sleep is where you can kind of, like, program out how your combos go a little bit more. Like, it's a little more nitty-gritty in a weird way, but it's kind of cool. And they've never done that again. They kind of did it in Dream Drop Distance a little bit, but that game has its own problems, and we won't get into that right now because we're talking about Kingdom Hearts 3. But, like,
so far, your review of 3 is not exciting me.
I still, like, the grander, like, the culmination, like, where I'm at right now is more, like, that's what I came to this game for. I didn't, like, I kind of wasn't, like, super excited about most of the Disney worlds going in just because I knew what they were. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not good. I knew they weren't going to mess with this stuff.
And to
like,
get at a little more of what I think you're saying, like, the real problem, I mean, it's twofold. On the one hand, it's like, I also dislike, like, I think it's really lame to just regurgitate the narrative of those films in exactly the same way in video game form, because you're just going to get a worse version of that story that is also encumbered by being a video game. So they technically have to build a gameplay around it, but also, you know, the voice actors might be different, or they're just going to turn in performances that aren't there that well.
I don't think vast majority of the Disney, not Pixar, all those, like, it was fairly good.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Allen, what's his face, John Goodman, who, like, all those, they have fairly decent sound alikes.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell they're not the characters, but they're decent enough that it's fine. But I'm pretty sure they got, like, what's her face for Elsa, Flynn, Ryder, Eugene, whatever, from Tangled, mm-hmm. is the same guy. I know that, though he has like two lines, which is just stupid.
Yeah, whatever.
But like, the fact that they just kind of went that route, but I bet it was more of like a, like, gun to your head, you have to go this route.
Yeah, I don't know.
I bet it was more top-down. I bet Disney was a lot more hands-on with what they could do.
But that, you know, for me, that kills, like I said, that kills the micro-level excitement of, like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen in this new place I'm going to go to, and then you get there and you already know. And you're like, all right, great.
Because, like, even with, like, the Mulan world, like, going back to Kingdom Hearts 2, like, that's pretty much the back half of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
You join her at the camp, you go to the mountains, and then you fight in, like, the courtyard. Mm-hmm. But it's at least, like, portrayed a little different. Like, there's differences in it, and it flows fairly well. For the most, like, it's fine. It's one of the first worlds you can go to in Kingdom Hearts 2. So it's not going to be overly hard. It's going to be pretty simplistic.
Mm-hmm.
But it was at least, like, there was character in it, whereas, like, some of those worlds were just fucking soulless.
Sure.
Don't even get me started about the crabs and the mm-hmm. fucking Pirates of the Caribbean world.
The other thing I was going to throw out there is that, so that's a problem on, like, a level, an area-by-area basis, where, like, as you go to these places, they kind of, like, they end up being more boring than they theoretically could or should be, just because mm-hmm. you kind of know the score.
Even based off of, like, the previous games in the franchise, like, even some of the worst games, like Recoded and 358 Over 2 Days, like, there is at least some personality to these rectangles that you were playing in. But, like,
and then the other thing, when you talk about Birth by Sleep being either one of the better or best games, the other thing that I think is the problem for Kingdom Hearts 3, watching you play most of it, is that, you know, Birth by Sleep is a game with like, it has basically three core characters, mm-hmm. and, like, you know,
Sora's always been kind of a problem.
Well, they have relationships and they have a story, and, like, that narrative goes someplace mm-hmm. from the start of when you start that game to when you complete it. And in this game, the A plot of, like, Sora and his friends against, you know, banding together to mm-hmm. be the light and fight the darkness or whatever, it feels almost completely divorced from you going to the individual Disney worlds. Like you're saying, it doesn't really feel like anything happens in that story until you've arbitrarily gone to 8 Disney locations.
Because he's trying to regain his power or whatever because of this game is basically Dream Drop Distance 2. Like, it picks up right where that game leaves off. And more, like, story-wise, not gameplay-wise. Like, mm-hmm. they are literally, like, it has more in common with that game than Kingdom Hearts 2 at all. Like, there's more of a connection between, like, one, Chain of Memories, and two, than there is with, like, then there's, like, basically a stop after Kingdom Hearts 2, and then you've got, like, the kind of cloudy area that's Chain of Memory, or not Chain of Memories, 358 Over 2 Days, which kind of goes into two, like, into Chain of Memories a little bit, and then into two marginally, because it ends right before two, and then I still don't even remember where Recoded falls in. I think it's after 2. Maybe it's after Chain of Memories. I don't fucking know. That game was bad. I did not enjoy it. And then Birth by Sleep happens before Kingdom Hearts 1. And then you've got Dream Drop Distance, which is very soon after 2. And definitely takes place after Recoded. And then it literally direct, like the end of DreamTap Distance is basically redone at the beginning of 3. Like there's more or less a split in the franchise as to what is actually connected. There's like a thin thread that connects all of it on my giant corkboard of insanity. But there's two bigger webs, I think, that the story makes up. And I would probably argue that the first half of that web is much stronger than the second half. Just all in all.
Yeah, it's just
Kingdom Hearts.
Like I said, it's just light. It just feels like a like it feels like they had one whiteboard with like, all right, here's the narrative and how we want to tie this game up,
mm-hmm.
and here's the Disney stuff that we need to put in this game,
mm-hmm.
like that is both, you know, because Disney will want a certain amount of it and because people expect it, because mm-hmm. Kingdom Hearts, Disney,
whatever. Franchise. If you didn't have that, you wouldn't have the franchise.
It really does feel like those two things
are divorced
like ended,
from
right,
each other.
They ended up in their own spheres and they got built almost independently.
Yeah.
And then one just kind of happens before the other does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, first you do all the Disney stuff, and then once you pass a certain point, you will never see another Disney character again, except for, you know, the core, like Donald,
Mickey,
Goofy, Mickey.
Yeah.
And then it just decides to finish being like to finish the Kingdom Hearts story after you.
Yeah, I mean, like the ends of Kingdom Hearts games are kind of always like that. Like you go to the Realm of Darkness or whatever it's called in Kingdom Hearts 1. You go to the world that never was in Kingdom Hearts 2.
But in 1 at least.
Well, 1 is kind of, it's really kind of its own thing because it's so different. Like,
and the concept, because as in 1.
You really like cutting me off, don't you?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you like you just, never mind. Just go, Dustin. Just go.
In 1, it's just that the concept of Sora is basically being introduced to the concept that there are worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So like that is like a, like every time you go to a new place, you do a new thing. Like the plot does inch forward as he goes to new places, mm-hmm. and runs into like, oh, here's Riku, and
he's
looking all
fucked
up. Well,
he's looking for Riku and Kairi because their world got destroyed.
Yeah. But I feel like that has more motion. I guess on some level it has to, because it's the first one, mm-hmm. so they have to explain shit, but that's all I was going to say, is that, yeah. I feel it has more forward motion and like an A to B to C, like start of an adventure during the adventure and like end of a mm-hmm. journey kind of deal than 3 seems to have. But
and I think some of that does come from, like I mentioned, Dream Drop Distance, because the thing with that game is Riku and Sora, like it is kind of split between the two of them, so you are like, you're shifting between playing as both of them over the course of this game. And they're trying to take their mark of mastery, which will make them Keyblade Masters. And they're going to these sleeping worlds to wake them up. Because, like, they're lost in darkness, we're trying to bring them back. Like, so it's a little more even, like, it's more of, like, a linear, okay, we're going from this one to this one to this one, because, like, kind of how the game is structured. Like, they're going to these worlds in this order on just literally for this reason. There's no overarching plot like to why it's these worlds. It's just, these are the ones that were asleep. This is what Yen said told us to do. And I think 3 kind of goes into that a little bit more, because it's like, oh, because of what happened in that game, Sora now has to basically do this again. So now it's like, it's just kind of like a, just, oh, we're going here because we have to, like, it's time for you to regain power or whatever, like, because of the bullshit that happened in that 3DS game. But
because how else could you start weak and become strong?
Basically.
That's right. It's the same as getting
That's
her armor taken away.
But I think they drew on that again and just kind of like went, because there are like, I feel like earlier games in the franchise had more connections to the A plot in the Disney worlds. Whereas they've just kind of like, because there's like a guy who will show up, like fucking young Xehanort, who shows up in the Toy Story world, or who was it? It was Vanitas in the Monsters, Inc. one, or Larxene in Frozen. Like, there's a person from the new organization who's showing up in each of these places. Like, there's a thread, but it's like the weakest fucking like hanging thing, like, remember, we're still here, but we're also kind of like not really doing anything, but we're here, don't forget about us. And it's just like kind of pointless,
like the back of a coat.
No, like,
saw those a lot.
You'll see more. Those coats don't go away. Like, those are staples, man.
First half of Kingdom Hearts 2.
Well, because they're trying, like, if you had played Chain of Memories, you would have seen half of the people who aren't there anymore with wearing those coats, because they all died in Castle Oblivion. Sora killed them. But that's...
No one got time for that.
Unrelated. I guess technically Axel was there, but he left or something. I don't remember what happened in 358 over 2 days, let's be real. But
yeah,
it's just it's weird, because like basically once I got through the Big Hero 6 world, which is the one I did last, it basically like it ripped the knob off and went to like Crazy Town, which is kind of what I like about Kingdom Hearts, is how just fucking stupid it is most of the time. Like, that's what I'm playing the game for, and I haven't had hardly any of that until like right now. Which it's fun. Like, I'm interested in what's happening. Like, a giant storm of Keyblades that have people's usernames from the mobile game was fucking hysterical. That was great. But getting to that point, dropping through a world and collecting versions of myself to re-piece my soul together was weird and stupid. But like, none of that feels like the beginning part mattered. Like, the little, like, basically vignettes of like Mickey and Riku in the Realm of Darkness trying to find Aqua were interesting, but they were like maybe 5 minutes of gameplay every like third Disney World. So it was just like, I would have rather like this game had a split path of like, here's Sora's, it's a little bit shorter than like what the game ended up being, and then also here's Riku's, shorter. They're like, they're both like just two separate paths of just different content, like
contiguous,
sort of. Like, you would play the game as one and then you could play the game as the other, like, yeah. As opposed from ping-ponging back and forth like Dream Drop Distance did, make it more like Birth by Sleep, where it's like you play through the game three different times, but it is slightly different each time. I would have rather that. And then if you wanted to make it like fucking rhyme like goddamn Star Wars, make you train with Kyrie and fucking Lee or whatever, like, bring a third arc in, who cares? All these people need to get to the same place anyway, and like, it would, because like, it feels like a third of the characters, namely Kyrie, just like, they're mentioned, she's there, you see her every like two or three Disney worlds, like on a weird cutaway for no reason, like, oh, we're training real hard over here, aren't we? Oh, you know we are. And then just gone.
Right. And then you don't interact with that in any way.
No,
and
it like... doesn't matter. It's a like 2 minute cutscene, if that, of like, oh, I wonder where Sora is. We sure are working hard, aren't we? And then it's just like, why is she here? Yeah, I know it's... you need seven lights, but God damn it. Can't you find some way to make this more interesting?
Yeah, that's kind of unfortunate.
Yeah.
I will want to check back in when you actually finish it, just to get your perspective on how the story actually wraps up, because you're almost done.
But, God, I fucking hope so.
But the other thing I'll segue to real quick, very briefly, and then we'll call it a show, is...
Did I talk about Kingdom Hearts too long? Too passionately?
Opinions.
Ah.
No, it's just because I'm also not really done with it or whatever, and someday we still might do a whole bigger thing with other people, I'm not 100% sure, but I, for the most part... I'm liking the Final Fantasy VII Remake.
I mean, it seemed like it.
And I haven't played it in like a week or so. Like maybe 8 or 9 days. I don't think I've booted up since then.
That is a week or so.
But I know that people within our group have opinions about it that are all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us really like it. Some of us are pretty neutral. And like Wade kind of hated most of it, particularly story stuff.
He feels very strongly in general, like, about things. He either loves it or it's literally the same.
But yeah, dodging any of that specific stuff, I will say that I wasn't planning to play this game originally. I then...
But hearing what
just
happens,
read about what happens in the game, just because I was morbidly curious, and then upon hearing about, like,
the weird
ways that they have reinterpreted that game for a modern context, that got me to decide to want to check it out. And I'm liking it so far. And actually, I think it, for the most part, it doesn't suffer from the things that you described in Kingdom Hearts 3. Like, the A-plot stuff is all over the place and has pretty good momentum. Like, the gameplay stuff, I feel like, is pretty well balanced between, like, giving you fun combat to, like, hack and slash and like sort of turn-based combat your way through. Like the combat's really interesting.
Yeah, it's like I feel like it's like a weird mixture of Kingdom Hearts and 15.
Yeah, because it's it is a lot like Kingdom Hearts, and that like you do just like push buttons to do basic attacks based on the weapon you have equipped, and and there's active time battle gauges for all the characters,
which is neat.
They fill up, and then once they're full, you can push a button and trigger a special ability, like you can use a spell or use an item, or
because there's like a pause because.
And like when you pull up one of those menus to activate like an active time ability, it basically just like slows down time
which
to like
I think a 15 kind very of did, if slow, I remember correctly.
Like it doesn't outright pause the game, but it slows it to maybe like a 10% of its normal speed less. Yeah. Like it very much slows the action down, so you have time to like choose an ability or whatever.
Unlike like 13, where it's like, oh god, I'm rifling through these menus, help!
But yeah, I want to say I think I'm like 30 or 40% done with it. That's my guess.
I don't remember.
I have just blown up the second reactor.
Yes!
Spoilers. Whatever.
For what, this, like... God, what was that, 97? Was that 97? Or 98?
97, I think.
Yeah, I thought it was 97. I can't numbers right now.
But anyway.
Is it 23? Or is it 22? I can't do math. Don't worry about me. Ignore me completely. Go on.
Nothing. It's just, like, I found, like, the main... gameplay and missions and stuff to be like really well paced and pretty well put together, and they even sprinkle in like other character stuff about characters that otherwise I don't think you'd really give a shit about. Like you get some backstory on Jessie and what her deal is.
She's thirsty,
right, and she wants to jump cloud every minute of every day, so there's that too. But
this game is everything.
But the parts of it that really falls down that I do think I'm going to take the out that they've built in for themselves are basically every time I feel like they thought that the game just needed to be longer, they put like hard breaks where you can do a bunch of side quests, because that like the game is completely divorced from like they're for the most part not side quests that you do in tandem with the story. Like there's one or two examples of that where it's like, oh, you have to use an ability like that is an enemy's weakness 6 times or whatever, and you can just do that stuff as you play. But most of them are just like in between big act breaks, like in between big things happening in the story. Yeah, it's like a little girl saying, go find 5 of my cats, or it's just some kid being like, there's monsters near the village, can you kill them all? And that shit is really boring and really lame.
But how will you get the platinum, Dustin?
But they don't force you to do any of it, because you can just basically every time you get to a section like that, you'll reach a point where it's like, here's the place you have to go to advance the story, and it puts up a big dialogue box. It's like, hey, if you do this, you won't be able to do any of the side content. Do you want to continue?
Fucking good.
And to date, I have ignored that. I've only really encountered 2 of big breaks like this where there's a bunch of side stuff. And the first time, I did all of it. And the second time, I've done about half of it. And then that's where I kind of like stopped playing for a couple days. And I think the next time I boot it up, I'm just going to skip any of the stuff I have remaining in that zone and just probably not do any of it anymore in the subsequent zones. But other than that, I've really enjoyed it. And in that sense, it is at least better that it gives you the option to skip that stuff as opposed to, like, other games I can think of. Like Skyward Sword is still one of my go-tos for, like, man, that game is artificially long for no reason. And there's no way to skip the total bullshit that they just make you repeat, like, 8 times over the course of playing it. So at least they had the forethought to,
amazing.
Like, hey, if you want to not do this... You don't have to do this.
Miraculous. Magnanimous.
But yeah, it is well made, and it is, like I said, it's a little more well made combat wise than I was expecting, and it's a little more well paced narratively than I would have expected from a lot of their recent output.
Yeah.
Especially watching like Kingdom Hearts 3, because that game even has like similar like lineage. Like, God, why can't I think of him?
Who cares?
You know, the belt guy.
That guy.
His
name escapes me as well.
Okay.
You have a computer in front of you, Dustin. I technically have a phone, but I'm really lazy.
Describe this belt guy.
Belts.
Nomura.
Yeah, that's
Tetsuya deep. Nomura is deeply involved with both of those projects, and
I mean, Kingdom Hearts, I believe, is his child, so there's that.
And it's just interesting to me how different they seem.
Well, one of them, presumably, has been in development and has hooks from a much longer lineage, i.e. Kingdom Hearts.
Right, yeah, I don't get the
Final
sense
Fantasy
that...
VII isn't like, it's a retelling of an older game, but it's not like beholden necessarily to like an older, I don't know how to describe what I'm trying to say.
Sure, and in terms of practical, like,
like just practical like software development. I don't get the sense that Final Fantasy VII Remake was restarted like three different times.
Yeah.
Like people kind of know that Kingdom Hearts 3 was because they switched like technology platforms two or three different times.
Yeah.
And like that game has had a sordid history for Thanks. That reason.
No, but, they're Keyblades, Dustin.
Yeah, I don't know. but anyway, yeah, that's all I've got on that for right now. So if I do play more of it or if I eventually beat it, someday we can talk about it a little more. It was a thing that I wasn't interested at all until I learned a little bit about it. And then now that I've dipped a toe in, I think it's kind of neat. It exceeded my expectations so far for modern Square Enix products.
Those are really hit or miss.
Uh-huh.
But yes. I'm really looking forward to trying it.
It's cool. I think you'll enjoy it once you find the time to sit down and play it for a little bit. But
my brother downloaded the demo, and I watched that like in person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where like the combat did make me think a lot of 15.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't seen it since then, and he's been playing through it though and enjoying it.
Nice. Very cool. Yeah, if you play it, maybe we'll check in together again at some point. Who knows? We'll see.
I told him what I'm likely to do is wait until I have a PS5 to play it.
Sure, why
because
not?
Because not only do I have a nicer TV waiting to be put up at the new place,
mm-hmm.
But like he's got a PS4 Pro because something happened to his, or he mm-hmm. got rid of it and then got a new one, I forget.
Mm-hmm.
And it's apparently it does look a lot nicer on a PS4 Pro, and it can make use of like the 4K and stuff that I'll have on the new TV.
Nice.
So I'm like, well, I'm not gonna buy a PS4 Pro.
Yeah,
and just
there's
play
no point
this.
In doing
like,
that.
I'm gonna get a PS5 most likely mm-hmm. right away. So
yeah, that's
unless
definitely
I'm
smart.
Broke or something, then maybe not.
Right.
Who can say?
Uh huh. Right on.
Who
Good
missed?
Deal.
Time will tell.
Uh-huh.
Woo!
With that. I think we'll mostly call it a show. I do still want to keep. I want to do these either at least this frequently or more frequently with you know, with Brian, with the McGraths, with whoever. I do like having these
whatever
conversations.
Whatever Yahoos we can rope into talking with us on the interwebs.
Mm-hmm. And I will bury the lead again for. We still might do a bigger Final Fantasy VII thing. Don't know at this point.
Shrug.
But I'm sure we'll be talking about more Destiny stuff in the near future because just this afternoon, they dropped. It looks like they're doing like a light ARG kind of thing or something to reveal new Destiny content. Basically, they tweeted out, like it was 3 or 4 hours ago, they tweeted out a video that was just like a minute and change of ominous sounding music to just like a black void.
Good.
So I'm sure there's more to come.
How does one do an ARG in 2020?
I don't know.
Just like...
But you know what I mean.
I know,
like,
but like...
They're going to gradually put out, I guess,
no.
increasingly less cryptic shit until they have an announcement of new
it's
expansion.
A week away?
The new season is a week from Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then right around this time is when they announced
the
fall stuff.
I want season to be over. I want it to be over so bad.
Right around this time last year is when they announced the much more substantial fall update. So that's probably coming in the next week or two as well. But
God, this season is awful.
We'll see. No Destiny now. We'll talk more later. But thank you, Lorraine, for hanging out and chatting.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brian, so much. It was great to hear your voice. Thank you for hanging out with us a little bit and checking us in on how you've been doing. And with that, we will call it a show. Thank you for listening, Internet. We will see you next time.
Bye.